Off this evening by asking a question. My question is, have you ever known somebody that only comes around when they need something? Maybe a family member or a friend or maybe a coworker who they don't seem to come around much unless you have something that they can offer. I think we've all known somebody like that, but I wonder if you've ever wondered, if I should turn my mic on first. If you've ever wondered if God sees you that way, if God sees you as the type of person who only comes around when you need something. We're going to talk about that a little bit this evening. Another phrase that I've heard a lot, especially in the military community, is there's no atheists in foxholes. And if you don't know what a foxhole is, it's a hole that you dig up in the ground. Something you sit in and wait for the enemy or whatever the situation depends on. There's no atheists in foxholes. How do you think that saying came about? The Bible has a passage that uses a metaphor and addresses our Christian life similar to warfare. In Ephesians 6, if you want to read, Ephesians 6, verse 13, we're going to read verses 13 through 18. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 13, says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In verse 18 there, it says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Praying always. It's very interesting to me that in this example of battle, after listing off all these pieces of armor and even a weapon to attack with, it lists prayer at the very end as a tool that a warrior can turn to. World War II, there was a study conducted on one unit asking them about their prayer life and how much they had prayed prior to and then during battle. And they had reported over a 30% increase during battle. And the number one reason for that, the number one event that would happen that would cause that, is that the battle would get more frightening. So when it gets more frightening, you're constantly reminded you're on the edge of death. You turn to God. No doubt the possibility of death was a top contributor to the increase in prayer, among other things. Think about Paul and Silas, and I've heard this example growing up in the church many, many times. And there's a lot of different things you can take from this story, but we're going to read Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34, if you'd like to read along. 16, starting in 25, says, After Paul had cast out the spirit from the slave girl, he and Silas were imprisoned. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. And Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And again, like I said, there's many things you can take away from this story, and I love reading that story. One of the things you can look at is that Paul and Silas turned to prayer in their hour of need. But I thought it was very interesting that only when the jailer was on the brink of death, about to kill himself because of what he thought his fate might be for letting two prisoners escape, only in that moment was he ready to receive Jesus, not before. When facing death, I think that's when we have a habit of turning to God the most, and this is natural, we understand this. you know, there's a lot of fire and brimstone lessons that have made a lot of Christians. But should this be the only time that we come to God? Should this be the only time that we're seeking a stronger relationship with Him? Could this be part of the reason that our nation, like many great nations before it, I might be biased to this one, but that could that be part of the reason we're struggling as a self-proclaimed Christian nation, or at least we used to be? Only when bad things happen to our country do we come together in prayer and remember that we're a Christian nation. Sometimes I wonder if we're too comfortable. If we're so far removed from things our ancestors had to deal with, like discomfort, hunger, uncertainty, or even death, that we forget to pray. And sometimes I wonder if our homes have become a castle of this of entertainment to distract us from our true purpose. And not pointing anyone out here except myself, I realized myself that I needed to improve my own prayer life. The things had gotten in the way of my own prayer life, and I wanted to learn more about what God had to say about when we should pray, and I also wanted a deeper connection with God. That's what we're going to look at a little bit longer here tonight. Some of the things I learned is that we should pray when good things happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Pardon, verse 17 is there. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." You know, giving thanks, you know, one thing I think about even today, Lydia's little boy, number 4, was born, and it's a great blessing. And sometimes I think, sometimes we do a good job of remembering to pray and being thankful, but sometimes maybe we don't. Sometimes it's only when things get rough that we seem to remember to pray. But the Bible does say to pray when bad things happen as well. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45. If you'd like to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45 says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." We should pray when we mess up. In James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. Says, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." There are many other examples of times we should pray. You know, I think of Daniel in the lion's den. I think many other examples. Many other examples where people humble themselves before God, even Job, like Dad talked about not too long ago. But the golden rule that we should remember with prayer, I believe, is that we should pray often. Pray often. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says to pray without ceasing. I just realized I may have put 17 twice there if I did, my mistake. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." But why? Why always pray? Why not just when we need Him? Why not just check in when we need Him like we do so many other of our relationships or so many things we do, maybe at work or with anything? We just use something when we need it. We talk to people when we need them. Why does it say to pray often? You know, it made me think of marriage. And this can be applied to relationships outside of marriage, but marriage specifically, I believe, can be compared to this because it's one of those things where maybe early on in marriage, it's easy to talk, it's easy to make time, it's easy to want to spend time around each other and make that time, but later on, just like in our Christian lives, maybe we forget to do that. Maybe we get busy with children or work or school, whatever. Sometimes we just don't make the time. Sometimes we're tired and we just don't make an intentional action to do that. Lack of communication in a marriage or in any relationship really can cause a feeling of distance, no connection, and the loss of that relationship. And over time, this can drive a wedge between you and that person. I believe it works the same way in our prayer lives and connecting with God. Even though he doesn't talk back directly to us, he can communicate with us in different ways, through his word or through things in life. But we can talk to him. We got to be intentional about it. Why should we pray, though, besides the fact that we're commanded to? Prayer also affects the person who offers the prayer, not just what you're praying about. This stuck out to me in the example of Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 14. We're going to read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. It says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Some things to note from the prayer there, from those verses. It says, don't pray like the hypocrites, because it's about God, it's not about you. It says to pray in secret, not on the street corners. It says, don't use vain repetition, saying the same thing over and over and over again to appear more spiritual and more holy. Starts with acknowledging God in the prayer. When the prayer starts, he starts with our Father which art in heaven. Acknowledging God and then directly after his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Starts with God. He mentions basic food, which, funny enough, is the only thing in the entire prayer that is mentioned that is a physical need. Everything else is spiritual in nature. Talks about forgiveness. Talks about escaping from temptation. But other things to note about the prayer is it's not too lengthy. And the prayer is simple. And especially there in verse 8, when he says, your Father knows the things you need of him before you ask him. So I believe that prayer affects us just as much as it affects whatever we're praying about. He starts with his prayer by acknowledging God. He already knows what you need, but it's a reminder to you of who's in charge. And it gives you peace knowing ultimately who's in control. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply you all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So everything we've talked about so far seems pretty simple, right? It doesn't seem that hard. Just pray. So what gets in, something has to get in the way of that prayer. What about something that we deal with today that Christians before us haven't? What about those things in our pockets, the ones we all brought with us tonight, most likely? Have you ever thought of yourself as a slave to those things in your pocket? Are they in some ways a crutch just as much as they are a tool? I saw a commercial and it showed a man who was desperate, and he appeared to be crying for help. And when he reached out for help, he didn't reach out to God or a parent or a sibling or even a friend. In this commercial, he reached out to his phone. And this commercial was trying to feature a new, well, feature included in this biblical app where you can talk to the app and it will talk back. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. This is one that many of us may know by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths." You know, these devices are tools, and they can be really helpful. In fact, we're using some right now. I got two or three connected to me right now. They can be very, very helpful. But we have to remember that they're all made by men. And even that tool featured in that commercial, maybe it could be helpful in some ways, but we have to remember what we're putting our faith into and making sure that it isn't just getting in, excuse me, that it's not replacing our prayer life. Let's look at Psalms chapter 118. Psalms 118, verse 8 through 9. Short scripture, but powerful. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And it's better to, and in verse 9 it says, "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." Princes. Something that else that can kill your prayer life is stress. And having been an adult for a little while now, I can somewhat relate to this. I have to confess that right now, my life in general has felt more full, but yet never more busy than it has right now. And God has blessed me much beyond what I deserve, but sometimes I do forget to pray. I'll admit to you, in fact, a lot it happens. And sometimes I tell myself I'll do it later, or sometimes I'm just tired, right? Maybe we can all relate to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, if you'd like to read along. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, but in everything." You know, nothing's going to change, and this is something that I'm looking to implement right now. I'm not quite sure what it's going to look like, but nothing changes without a system in place. I was talking with Dad and Adam about this. If you want to make a change and you don't do something to make a change, there's going to be no change. I think sometimes we have to get creative in ways and looking for opportunities to engage in more prayer in our lives. I'm sure you've also not only felt stressed, but there's been times where you felt lonely. And I know you're going to have to give me some time outside of the military so I have more things to talk about than just that. But I can tell you while you're in, sometimes when you're separated from home for a long time, you can get to feeling pretty lonely. One time I was on a ship, I just boarded a ship, and that experience made me very thankful that I joined the Marine Corps, not the Navy. But I laid down that first night, and over the intercom, I heard a voice say, "You know, bow your heads and join me in prayer." I had no idea that happened at all on a ship. But I asked around to some of the sailors, and they said, "Yeah, every night, it's an evening prayer." I had no idea. But when that prayer came, after it would finish every night, you know, I wouldn't feel quite as lonely. It didn't fix everything, but it gave me peace. And Christians can relate to what that peace feels like, having someone to talk to, not feeling alone. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says 6 through 7 on the slide. I apologize for that, but just verse 7. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The question we started with was, you only come to God when you need something. Well, I'm going to ask you now, do you feel like your prayer life has been sufficient? Do you only reach out to God when you need something? Do you ever pray continually? Do you pray without ceasing? We shouldn't wait to be in a life or death situation before we realize it's time to get a relationship with God. If you need assistance in building that relationship or you're ready to be a part of God's church, please come forward now as we stand and sing.